So we're in 1 Peter chapter 2. This is not going to take long. Amen. But I've titled it The Christian and Authority. Christian and Authority. And as you know, we're walking through the book of Peter. So I didn't plan on teaching on government today, but this is just where it's at. Amen. And it's interesting, as our brother Daniel just shared with us, that he was in Washington, D.C. this morning and watching the clouds over the Capitol. That Capitol building, that's our government. And the message is on government today. So I just want you to know that God had my brother in the right place at the right time so he could come here and say that, so it can be accentuated again. You just emphasize again, right? The Christian and authority. Listen to what Peter says to us. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him, him being the king, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. That's 1 Peter 2:13-14. Let me read one more verse. Verse 15, which declares, for this is the will of God. What's the will of God? That we submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. We're going to break that down. Don't get worried. We're going to break that down. But for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And with the internet, we have the spread of ignorance, foolishness on a scale. I mean, you want to see ignorant foolish? It's out there. Matter of fact, you have to weed it out to get to the truth. All right? And so he says that you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants for God, of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Amen. It says, let everything that hath breath. So I'm going to let him do his thing. Amen. And so it says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. The word ordinance of man, that phrase means the creation of man or the institution of man or what man would, as a government, would institute, right? And so we have policies and laws and statutes and so forth and so on that the government brings to bear upon the people. And the Lord says that we're to submit ourselves to every ordinance for his sake. The Holy Spirit tells us that through the Apostle Peter as he's encouraging the people. Now, you can imagine that we all think about what some people call utopia or the perfect society. But you can think about what if we had a society where everyone obeyed the law? Could you imagine what that would be like? Wow, man. More people in, is it in this area? I just saw a headline the other day. I think it's in the Northern Virginia or the Delmarva area. More people have been killed this year by people running red lights than prior years. People are actually, we're in such a rush. We're in such a hurry that we will break the law and not want just a one-off. I mean, it's repeated. And people are being struck and killed because of this. And you say to yourself, does it really have to be this way? Well, no, it doesn't. But that's why government was instituted to begin with. We'll get to that in a little bit. In Matthew 25:15, Jesus recognized the government's authority to collect taxes. And not only he when they came and tried to trick him in his speech, they said, is it lawful to give taxes to Caesar? And he says, show me a denarii. Whose image is it? Give unto Caesar's. What is Caesar's? Give unto God what is God's, right? And so the Christians today, and I've met multiple Christians who don't believe in paying their taxes. You go on the internet, they're all on the internet, they're everywhere, you know. And I just, when I get around people like that, I just separate myself from them. Say, you go ahead and roll where you're going to roll, okay? But you in direct opposition to your master, you said, you call him your Lord, because he said, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, right? Amen. And not only that, but he also miraculously provided for Peter to pay his taxes. Did you hear me? I said he miraculously provided for Peter to pay his taxes. Go down, drop a hook. First fish you take up, there's the tax money in his mouth. And Peter did that. What does that tell us? It tells us this, Christian. God has given you the money to pay your taxes. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. That means we have no one in here that doesn't agree with paying the taxes. Glory to God. Because if you don't pay your taxes, it's going to catch up with you. Hello. Oh, do I have a witness? Can I get a witness? Yeah, yeah. If you don't pay your taxes, you remember the story I told you about the Christian businessman who lost his whole business because he wasn't paying the tax. And he had accounts. He was making money hand over fist. But because he wouldn't pay the little bit of taxes that he owed, you know, and God will let the government come and shut your business down because the authorities that he put in place so that we might abide by the rule of law, right? So, now, why did Jesus recognize and Peter and Paul preach about the authority of government? Why did Jesus recognize the authority of government? Well, here's why. All authority is of God. Oh, you get too many amens there. Okay. Let me try this side. I said, all authority is of God. Oh, glory. You hear that? Amen. All authority is of God and appointed by God. Now, the reason why we don't jump to our feet and say amen loudly is because the authority that is. See, just because God ordained authority doesn't mean that all authority is godly. Or all authority is good. And the reason why we got a low amen table, you know, when I said all authority is of God, is because the authorities that we have are not right. Come on now. It's okay to say it. It's okay to say it. Listen, let me ask you this. Is every man, woman, and child a sinner? Yes. Okay. Well, then can we say, is government jacked up? Is government messed up? You better know it. You better believe it. Oh, yes, indeed. Okay, so those are two different things, though. Okay, so we'll get to Romans 13 in a second, and I'm not going to treat this in depth. Like I said, this isn't going to take long. But I do want to mention, I do want to preach and teach on what Peter is saying to us. Because I tell you, my mother raised us to listen to her. Okay. And when she said to do something, she wanted us to do it. And we were expected to. And now, because my mother raised us that way, guess what? When it came to the law, I have not had a lot of run-ins with the law. I just don't. You know why? Because when the law says, don't do that, I'm like, okay, I'm good with it. I don't need to do it. I didn't break my mother's laws. I'm not going to break yours. Right? And so, So we'll get to that, but I want to also say this. To not recognize any government or authority is to not recognize God. Because all authority is of God and has been appointed by God. Now, again, let me say this in saying that, I did not say that all authority is godly. I said God created authority. He created the institution, the office. He created that function in the earth. Now, but all governments are occupied by sinful people, and therefore it's the sinful people that makes the government sinful and wrong and wicked and violent and so forth and so on, right? So, when there was no civil government, as there was in the book of Genesis, early on, you remember the first crime committed. not Adam eating from the tree, but Cain murdering his brother. God, there was no government. So who held Cain accountable? God did. God did. And God said, I'm going to put a mark on you. God judged him. Guess what? God hasn't changed. He's the same today. Some people say, I've heard of reading articles about Jeffrey Epstein, and people said he cheated the law. I said, are you serious? No, he didn't. Jeffrey Epstein cheated the law, whether he committed suicide, whatever you believe, he was murdered or he committed suicide, whatever. He did not cheat the law. He didn't cheat justice. Let me make it very clear that there are books in heaven, and they have writing in them, and every deed and everything you've done is recorded, and you're going to stand and give an account, just like, and I still, my children grown now, I can't get them, I tried to do it when they were younger, but I couldn't get them to do it. I said, we're going down to the courthouse, because everybody needs, not the, they're like, no, Dad, we don't want to do that. I said, no, everybody needs to walk into the courthouse and go sit in the back and watch it with traffic court, doesn't matter what court it is, civil court, and watch when that judge come through the door, and those people got to stand up before that judge. And you can get it wrong if you want to, but that judge is going to put you in your place. And he has your fate in his hand. See? And that is a, when the judge walks and they say, all rise. And if you find yourself reading a book, you better put the paper down or they'll throw you out, because you're going to pay attention to what the judge has to say. And everyone needs to, you need to experience that. Boy, put the fear of God in you. Yes, indeed. And so, so in Genesis chapter 9, when Noah comes off the ark, and this is after, you know, God says, now I want you and your children to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, right? And then he gave them freedom to eat. He said, no longer shall you only eat vegetation. He says, but every living thing is food for you. He says, you can, so they became meat eaters then. But before the flood, they were vegetarians, as it were, right? But he also said this, surely, in Genesis 9, chapter 9, verse 5. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it. And we still do that today. If a dog kills a person, we kill the dog. We kill the dog, okay? Right? Ain't got no problem with that, right? You're going to have a problem with the next part, though. Some people have, we're going to have a problem with this. From the hand of every man, he says, from every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Now, most scholars see this as God instituting civil government, because he said that every man who kills a man, I will require it. That person's going to have to be killed. Well, who's going to kill him? It's not going to be the person who was killed, right? So, I mean, think it through. Well, in Israel, it was the person who was killed's family. Remember, that was called the Avenger? You'd be running from the Avenger of Blood. If you killed somebody's family member, or everyone, somebody's family member, they would come after you, and you would have to run to a city of refuge, right? That's if you didn't do it premeditated. That's if you didn't mean to kill them. You could run to the city of refuge. If you meant to kill them, even if you went to the city, they drag you out and kill your backside. That's what they do. Why? Because if you shed man's blood, your blood was going to be shed. Well, most scholars see this as the point where God instituted civil authority in the earth. So it was those who were going to hold you accountable for what you did. And they were doing that because God was holding you accountable for what you did. And that's what God does through civil government. So that's why, when you're driving down the road and you're doing 30 miles over the speed limit and you see some red lights or some blue lights, that's why the palms of your hands get sweaty, a little burst of bead of sweat start break out on your forehead, and you start looking around, and because your conscience already told you you're wrong. You broke the law. Now you're going to have to pay for breaking the law, right? So God is the one. Peter is telling us that we're to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. This is why it's such a tragic thing when you hear in the news that the pastor was embezzling funds out the church. This is why when you find out that the youth pastor was touching a minor in the youth ministry, see, because now you're breaking not only the law of God, you're breaking the law of man. And the scripture says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Right? Now, God would now hold man accountable through civil government. We had a real prophet in this church years ago. He was also, I mean, he was a prophet of the Lord, and he would literally see visions of people, of things happening. People remember, I don't know if you remember Paul, but he had a vision of Paul, where Paul was the night before. He stood up in church. I said, I see you. And he just described it all, and it was exactly where it is, where Paul was the night before. And he went on and ministered. Well, this prophet was also a warden of a prison. And one day I said to him, I said, yo, Howard, I said, what do you think about capital punishment? And he said, well, I think about it this way. Now, if you do something worthy of capital punishment, he said, you come to jail, we're going to lock you up. And then I'll come in, and I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to tell you all about Jesus. And I hope you give your life to Jesus, because after I tell you about Jesus, we're going to flick the switch. He said, that's what I think about capital punishment. I was like, okay, thank you for letting me clearing that up. And he was a warden of a prison. As far as I know, to this day, he still is in that line of work. Romans 13 is the sister passage, if you will, although by a different author, the Apostle Paul, says this, 13:1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. When it says the authorities that exist are appointed by God, he's speaking of the offices of those authorities, right? Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. What's interesting here, Peter talks about the ordinances of man, which are the laws of man. Paul mentions the ordinance of God. God created the office of civil government. Peter's talking about what those authorities actually create themselves in terms of laws, right? It says, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers are not a terror to good work, but to evil. That's a general statement. Rulers, or the intention is, rulers are not to be a terror to good works, but to evil. But we all know some rulers who were terror to good works. Hello? Right? I was thinking about when Germany occupied Poland, and they went door to door. They were looking for Jews. And they come to a house and the Bible says that you're not supposed to lie. But hello, when the government is killing people and they come to your door and say, any Jews here, and there's Jews hiding up in the attic, you say, no. You say, where is the Bible precedent for that? Judges chapter 7, when the widow hid the spies. Hello?
Oh, that's right.
Jericho? And you say, well, does God, will he honor it? What do you mean, will he honor it? Read your Bible. This is what I'm always saying. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. All the answers, we have so many questions. The answers are right there in the book. They come to her and say, have any men come to you? They're hiding up on the roof. She says, mm-mm. She said, matter of fact, she didn't leave it at that. Matter of fact, they went that way. And if you go that way, they probably went over the mountain along. She added to it. And them boys took off. And then she brought the men down and they escaped. Amen. And the children of Israel were able to come in and overthrow Jericho. Okay? So, you know, you can't read this and go, well, I'm supposed to do everything some evil, wicked regime is supposed to tell me to do. Mm-mm. No. When they tell you to break the law of God, when they tell you, so you say, well, when can I, Peter's saying, submit yourself to every ordinance of man. When can I not submit myself to what the government is asking me for? When they ask you to break the law of God. We'll get to that. But when they ask you to break the law of God, then that's when you say, no, that's not happening. I decline. I will not give myself to that. Okay? When the government is not only a terror to evil works, but giving evil works and doing evil works themselves. Paul says this, do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good and you will have praise of the same. Now, keep in mind, Paul writes this, and yet he had a king, a murderous king. They say Nero was the king who had Paul executed, okay? But Nero also murdered his mother, if I remember it correctly. So he was, and yet Paul says, be subject to the governing authorities. Do what is good and you will have praise of the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Now, what is interesting about that, when I read that, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he, the government, does not bear the sword in vain. When I read that, it was like it was turned around and then applied to the government. Because that doesn't only apply to us. Listen. We're accountable to the government. Who's the government accountable to? So, government, if you do evil, be afraid. Because God does not bear the sword in vain. You say, where's that in Scripture? I'm glad you asked. Genesis chapter 15. You remember when God, he cuts his covenant with Abraham. And he says, Abraham, your descendants are going to go down into Egypt, and they're going to be overthrown by this nation. And in Genesis 15:14, this is what God says. He says, also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. I will judge. In other words, we know the story of Egypt. God judged the Egyptians for what they had done to the Israelites. Okay? You say, wow, is that so? Yeah, and God's the same. He's the same. Yesterday, today, forever. Matter of fact, let me make it even clearer. It's that what happened to them has happened in this nation. Yes, Pastor. It has? Yes, it has. And not only that, I'm gonna show it to you in a second, but I'm gonna take it a little bit farther. If this government and our nation isn't careful, it's going to happen again. You say, why is that? Because there's a law of harvest that is active in the earth, and no one can get away from it. Everyone is subject to it. And this is the law of harvest. What you sow is what you're going to reap. What you do to someone, that they're going to do it to you. That's why the Bible says, treat one another the way you want to be treated. So God judged Egypt for what they did to the Israelites. Lincoln said in his second inaugural address, fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword, speaking of slavery, as was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And so what caused this civil war where so many people were killed in America? Slavery. What you did in abusing those generations, it came back on the nation. And this is why no nation wants to be wicked and violent, because what you do to others, oh, one day, make no mistake about it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians chapter 6. Read it for yourself. And so it's not just for us. It's for nations. It's for governments. It's for parents. It's for parental authority, civil authority, spiritual authority. It's for all authority. It's for all peoples. It's like the law of gravity. You can think, I believe I can fly. Listen, you can believe you can fly all you want to. But I don't care who jumps off the Empire State Building. There's one direction you going. Okay? That law, it applies to everyone. Hello. So now, back to Romans 13, where he says that if we resist the authority, we resist God. We understand that resisting authority is resisting the office God has ordained. But resisting evil and poor, misguided, prejudiced, hypocritical governmental policy is altogether different than resisting authority. See, resisting authority for the sake of resisting authority, that's not of God. But resisting an evil policy, that God will honor. We see that in the Old Testament when Pharaoh commanded the Hebrew wives, when the women upon the stools and you see a male child being born, kill it. This is what the reigning power of the day told the Hebrew midwives, kill the male children. We want no male children. What did the midwives do? They said, oh, no. No, no, no. Jewish, these Hebrew women, they lively. When they get upon the stools, by the time we come, they done, whoop, child's already out and gone. And but in America, we different today. We would tell, oh, no, take the child, take an implant and punch it in the back of the neck and kill it. That's what we would do. Oh, but we're civilized, and we're way beyond those people, those savages back then. Well, they weren't doing that. Hello? When the child was born alive, there's nothing more you could do. Well, the midwives didn't obey Pharaoh. They obeyed God. And God honored them. Well, in our nation, under the First Amendment, we have the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. You've heard that before? Okay. Redress of grievances means resolution to problems or complaints. Redress means solution. Grievances are complaints. So it means the right of petition, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances means the right to ask a governmental body to solve a problem. That's what Colin Kaepernick was doing when he consulted a Navy SEAL friend who was a Caucasian man. And he said, how should I best go about this? And this ex, I believe he was a SEAL or a Special Forces, he said, well, the best way to do it is when they do the national anthem, kneel down. And what was he doing but bringing attention to police brutality and racism in our nation? What was he doing? He was trying to get attention to the fact that this in the last couple of weeks, Eric Garner, who said five times, I cannot breathe, who was taken down on a New York sidewalk because he was selling cigarettes, struggling to breathe, said five times, and the police officer held him until he died. That's murder. Because the chokehold was illegal. By his own office said, you do not do this. This is against our protocol and how we treat people. Yet he held this man until he died. And it was things like that that Colin Kaepernick is saying, would someone please pay attention to this and change this in our nation? What was he doing but asking the government to do something about this? Don't let this go on, because it didn't stop with Eric Garner. It goes on and on and on and on. Yeah, on and on. We don't have time to name them all. It just goes on and on. So what more do we have? Well, we have today, we had a couple of weeks ago, was really high-pitched, and I don't imagine what happened last night will cause too much of a ruckus, because a couple of weeks ago, it was 2-3 shootings in a few days. You know, it's almost like, you know, people paid attention to that. But now you have this shooting and it probably won't even register a blip. Maybe just keep on going. But our nation is now asking, has been out asking our government, would you do something about gun control? Okay. And, you know, I hear all the, and frankly, it's tiresome when I hear the police chief. We want to thank our first responders. Listen, this is after the fact. Okay, I'm glad for the first responders too. They just did their job. But you're not doing your job, okay? And so you remember, forget which state it was, where the man was, well, it had to have been in Ohio. It was in Ohio where he was, the mayor was giving a speech, and he's talking about gun control, and all the people shouted him down and said, do something, do something, do something. And I'm going to tell you something else about us Christians. Listen, stop saying we praying for you. Listen, pray, but shut up. You say, why do you say that? Because when you say we're praying and we're speaking comforting words, listen, when you do nothing and say that, it's a cop out. And people know it. And people say, no, we don't want you to say something. We want you to do something. In other words, listen, you know, prayer for most people is when I can't do nothing else, I cry out to God. Okay. Well, let's use that. Let's use that. What can you do, government? Can you do something? Okay, well, tell you what. I'll tell you when to pray for me. Pray for me anyhow, but let's do something. And so when you can do background checks, you can limit the amounts of you can at least know how many people, what people are buying what guns. You can put a ban on assault-style weapons. There's so many things that can be done. Because let me tell you what's insane. Next week, we back here again. 2 weeks from now, more people shot and killed. And we look like straight-up idiots. Listen, what was they said years ago? If you continue to do the same thing and expect a different result, they call it, that's the definition of insanity? Well, welcome to what the United States is. Because we do nothing. Not only that, a couple of weeks ago in Texas, they loosened the gun laws after El Paso shooting. They loosened the gun laws, made it easier for you to get guns after 22 people were shot. They made it easier, you know, because Texas got something wrong with them. They think they all, you know, well, we, you know, we good. Hello. It shows you the level of blindness that can happen to a people, right? So we need help. When you have the ability to act and do not, prayers and words of comfort are meaningless to people. You understand me? It's meaningless. I'll be running up in people's face. I'm praying for you. Pray for me anyhow. I'm praying for you before you get shot. But we need to do something before you get shot. Hear people walking down the street. This fool come down just shooting people randomly. Come on. History abounds with poor, wicked, violent governmental authorities. Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong. It goes on and on and on it goes. I've already said, is there a time when God does not expect us to submit to government? Yes, when government wants us to break the law of God. And so I reference Exodus 1:17 about the Hebrew midwives. But not only that, Jesus rebuked the religious authorities of his day. He rebuked them, and because he did, he was abused. Now, if he rebuked the government and got abused, get ready. He said, if they hated me, come on. So let's not paint a rosy picture. You know not the Rough Riders, when they did the sit-ins, Martin Luther King, they taught the people and had people mimic the abuse and slap them upside the head. This is what you're going to experience when you go to prepare them and to get them ready for the abuse that they were going to experience. Hello. So Jesus in John chapter 18. He's being questioned by the high priest, the Jewish authorities. In John 18:19, it reads, the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me and who heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said, which is correct, because you would want to ask the witness in order to indict the person that you're talking to. Did he say this? So it would only make sense that you would ask the people. You know, you would ask a witness, right? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And the scripture goes on and says, and when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? So here's an officer of the high priest, the government, the religious authority of the day, striking the high priest of all of creation. And if there's any time where you and I need to get a check on ourselves and say, well, you know, I want to take your head off. No, no, we need to read this right here. Because Jesus wouldn't even have to say a word. And everyone in there could have fallen over dead. I mean, he just everyone's over. But he didn't. They struck him. And Jesus answered and said, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. Notice that Jesus was, the scripture says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus did not let evil overcome him. He could have lashed out, which would have been, you know. But he says, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? So he was indicting the government. He was just saying to them, you have struck me against the rule of your law. Okay? See, now, if I've spoken evil, okay, I don't strike me. But I haven't. I've spoken well. So why are you striking me? It's against the law to strike me. See? So he was holding the government to account. Acts chapter 4 and verse 18, we know this account well, when the disciples, or Peter and John, were preaching the gospel to the people, and the Sanhedrin called them and said, we forbid you to speak or to teach in that name. And it says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, here's a civil authority, religious authorities, commanding the apostles not to preach in the name of Jesus. But remember, they had received word from Jesus that said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And, you know, he gave them the Great Commission. Now they're saying, no, you're not going to do that. And Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, we're not listening to you. We're going to preach and teach Jesus. You deal with it, right? Then they were willing to lay down their lives to preach and to obey, to preach the word and obey the commandment of God. So God continued to bless the preaching of his word by the disciples, even though the governing authorities commanded them not to preach. See? So here you had men who were in opposition to what the authorities, what the government authorities were commanding, but yet in agreement with God, what he was commanding, and God blessed them for it. So 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Why is that? Because doing good points to the source of all goodness, which is God himself. Could you imagine if there was a community, and I think, you know, there are some communities, what are those Jews up in Pennsylvania? Ride the buggies. The Amish, well, they're not Jewish, but I'm thinking of it. But they have their own community, and they do good. My point is that they do good, you know, and they're known for that. They take care of one another. You move in their community, and they will build you a house. Everyone in the community will build you a house. Now, where in Centerville is someone, every community, going to get together and build you a house? Where in Ashburn? Where in Fairfax? So what I'm saying is that my point is, I know I got the people wrong, but that's not my point is that they're doing good. And, you know, when people do good, you start to look at that people. You start to say to yourself, why are they like that? We need to go over there and find out why. That's what Peter's after here. That's what he's after. That's what he's saying. He's saying that when we do good, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Right? When all the world is in darkness, doing good is a light that will draw people to itself. That's what the Christian community is supposed to be. That's what the Christian community is supposed to be. And so he goes on and he says, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, Paul said it this way, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not good. So I don't give myself to it, right? But Peter continues, but as bondservants of God, honor all people. Honor all people. And here again, the Christian community needs to learn some things. In particular, well, you know, in the, I hate to use the term right and left because, you know, our country right now is so polarized. It's almost like we're not human beings anymore. Because if you say something that indicts someone on the right, they're going to point to the left and vice versa. But for the Christian community, when we need to talk about gay people with the right tone and the right words. I said last week that, you know, transgender people are, you know, they're coming out. This is an aberration. It's not of God. But I don't want to demean or talk down about them when I do talk about them. Because we need to be in a place where we can be in agreement with one another, but then don't ridicule or belittle someone because they hold, even if you know according to Scripture, it's aberrant. If you know according to Scripture, it's not of God, right? But you don't press them down and beat them down and make them feel like, you know, we just don't agree. We don't. That's not our lifestyle. You know, and can we agree to disagree and can we be civil about it? Can we be loving and kind? Peter said, honor all people. Why? Because they're made in the image of God. Whether we like it or not, they're made in the image of God. And God expects us to respect one another, to honor one another. OK, so God help us to do that. Paul said in Romans 13:7, give everyone what you owe him. In the NIV, he says, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And, you know, one of the things I know if you've ever read any type of opinion article or watch any video on YouTube, which is left, right, Republican, Democrat, you know. And then you go read the comments. You can't even read them. Because people invariably start beating one another down, calling one another names. I mean, it's awful how we treat one another. Just because that person doesn't see it the way I see it. Just because that person doesn't agree with what my take is, that we talk to one another like, I mean, it's just awful. I can't even read it. So Peter says, honor all people, love the brotherhood. And Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he says, I don't even have to tell you to do this since you are taught by God to love one another. And if there's anything we ought to have, and which I'm sorry, it's sad to say, in our nation, whew, here again. When Russell Moore, the former president of the Southern Baptist, spoke out against the current immigration policy of our government, Falwell, Jerry Falwell Jr. Now, he's supposed to be a Christian because he's the head of a Christian university. He got on Twitter and he berated Russell Moore, said, who are you? You're nothing but what he said was, I was like, is this a Christian? Is this man a Christian? Talking to this other supposed Christian who I know is a pastor, who I know is a Christian. and an upright standing man, Russell Moore is. And but Jerry Falwell Jr. went after him. And I'm like, hold on, Jerry. This is the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. Number one, we shouldn't be doing that. Number two, you shouldn't do it publicly. I tell you, social media is a curse and a blessing. And we decide which. Let me say it again. Social media is a curse and a blessing, and we decide which. James says, out of your same mouth should not flow sweet water and bitter. Right? Yeah. Blessings and curses. And we do that, right? But it's wrong. And so Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all men will know that you're my disciples when you have love one for another. Do people in America know where the body of Christ is? Do they know we're one? Why? Because we're not. Because we're not. Listen. When it comes and divides the church, any issue, that issue has become an idol in the church because it now sits at the top instead of Christ. When Christ is the head of the church, we're all one because we're his body. But when abortion, you name it, gun control, name anything, any issue, when that sits at the head of the church, then we're going to all be divided because we're going to run to what we feel is what we hold true and dear. Right? So God help the church. And this is the, this is the strategy of the enemy, to divide and conquer. And when we go for the bait, I'm sure he's laughing. Hello? So honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God. Fear God. And Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, and keep his commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. I said a few months ago, reading that scripture, go home, read Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Just read the whole chapter. Remember God in your youth. Oh, my goodness, young people, if you could just get that, just that one. Remember God in your youth. I was talking to Tori this morning because, you know, there are all kinds of people on YouTube and they want to be famous and they're young and they're willing to give away. They're willing to give away something for what looks like. They're like Eve looking at that fruit saying, yes, it looks good. You know, and the devil's telling them, you know, this is good for food. You know, have it. And she's looking at it. Well, it does look good. And they're looking at this fame and fortune like, and I'm willing to sell. I'm willing to give anything I got to obtain that. And once you get it, you're going to find out it was a big lie. But see, remember God when you're young, because what you do when you're young, you're going to have to pay for when you're old. Did you hear me? I said, what you do when you're young. People say, well, they got to sow their wild oats. I'm like, they ain't no wild oats in the kingdom. They ain't no wild oats. No, they don't. No, no. But he said, remember God in your youth. Why? Because it has impact on everything that follows. So honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor the king. And so just as I was saying earlier, just as we're to honor our father and our mother as parental authority, so we're to honor the king as civil authority or the government, those that God put in authority. We're to honor them because they've been appointed by God for the good of a people dwelling together. And my prayer is that God would simply help us to do all this, and I know that's his will, so we have the help we need. Amen? All right, let's stand to our feet. Father, we bless you now. Father, we thank you for the word of truth. We thank you, O God, that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth who lives within us, agrees with the word of truth. And so, Lord, your Spirit is carrying out everything that the Word has said, and may it accomplish that which you please in us, that we might be salt and light in the earth, that we might be those holding out the Word of life in a dark time, in a dark generation. Lord, that others would see the light and hear and be saved and be reconciled to God. Father, we pray, Lord, that we would in all things honor all people, that we would love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king to the glory of our eternal and matchless King Christ Jesus. We ask it all in your precious name. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you.